Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the ships at sea. Welcome to Travel Talk Radio with your hosts, Bob and Sandy Nessoff. Sandy is off on assignment this week, and hopefully we'll have her back by next week. Our guest this evening is Jim Kierstead, a very noted Broadway producer. He's won an Olivier Award in England, an Emmy Award here in the States, and three Tonys. And I'm very happy to say that he's a very close friend of ours. Good evening, Jim. How are you?
Hi, Bob. I'm doing pretty well. How about you?
Muddling along like everybody else is. As I said earlier, house arrest ain't fun.
Hey, Jim, you could say that again.
Tell us about these awards that you won and what they were for.
Oh, sure. I've been producing theater for about 20 years now, and originally I got into that, and then I started doing film and television as well. So the first year I was co-producing on Broadway. Before that, I developed a lot of things for off-Broadway and off-off-Broadway, but I was involved with Kinky Boots and the revival of Pippin back in the 2012-2013 season. So I was what we call a co-producer on those, and we happened to win the Tony Award for Best Musical for Kinky Boots and the Best Revival of a Musical for Pippin. So I won two awards in one night that year, which was really fun, and then we went on to win the Olivier in London that following year for Kinky Boots. And then just this past year, I won a third Tony Award for Hadestown for Best Musical. So those are my awards there, and then I have an Emmy Award for an Amazon streaming series called The Bay, which were up.
Hey, you're going to have to get a bigger shelf in your apartment, Jim.
Well, it's just nice to do the work, and if people recognize it, that makes it even nicer. But it is.
Let me ask you this, Jim. It looks as though things may be beginning to loosen up with this infernal pandemic. Do you foresee Broadway starting up anytime soon?
Well, you know, Bob, you and I had spoken right after everything shut down, so it's about 3 months ago or so, and back then you asked me the same question, and I said, I don't think things are going to be back for quite a while, and I have to say that I stick to that same answer right now. There's a lot of problems with opening up, you know, and theater is going to be in the final phase to begin with, theater and large gatherings. So as much as I want to be optimistic, I also have to be realistic, and I don't want to discourage people, but I'm kind of telling them, look into other avenues for now. We will get live theater back, but there's a lot of things that have to happen in order for live theater to occur, especially on a Broadway type scale. First and foremost, there's no way to be socially distant in a Broadway theater. Their seats are on top of each other, and you can't run a show at the amount of percentage capacity that you'd have to in order to make it viable. Like in the beginning, people said, oh, just leave every other seat empty. And I'm like, well, first of all, you can't run a Broadway show on 50% capacity. It just is not enough money to support it. But second of all, that's actually not enough of a minimization in order to make it safe. Because if you think about it, people are still on top of each other. So I think you'd have to almost run that theater at 20 or 30% capacity to make it even somewhat viable. The other problem is there's a lot of tourism involved in Broadway. So you're asking people from all over the country, all over the world to fly. And a lot of people just don't feel safe, right? Especially flying to New York at the moment. They need to feel safe in order to come back. And I wouldn't want us to come back before it was absolutely safe, because if we have another outbreak and people start getting sick because they came to Broadway theaters, that's going to put, you know, a really bad black cloud over our industry for quite a while. So if I were a betting man, I don't think we're coming back until the spring. So I think we're going to lose a year. That's just my thought. I think some of the national tours can maybe come back sooner, because a lot of other areas are not as hard hit as New York and the tri-state area. But as far as Broadway is concerned, I think it's going to be a while, and they have to be really careful.
Yeah, some Broadway shows are already giving up the ghost. I assume that's because of finances and because some of the actors have had other contracts and commitments. How bad do you think Broadway is going to be impacted? Do you think it is going to come back?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that what's going to happen is there's always going to be a need for live theater. There's always going to be a love for it. But I think that people have to get over this. I think everybody's got a bit of PTSD as a result of being locked in their homes and being told not to go out and to wear masks and, you know, not being able to go to restaurants and do all the things that we like to do when we're together. And unfortunately, a lot of things in New York City revolve around some of those events. So right now, there's really not that much to do in New York, except for sit home and watch Netflix and order takeout food and wander the streets sometimes. But other than that, you can't really do most of the things you wanted to do. So, yeah, I'd have to believe that it's going to be a little while in coming.
All right, well, tell me now, you've got a new project in the works called Virtual Broadway, Virtual Contact. That seems to be the current soup du jour. Everything is virtual. It covers everything from travel to prison bail hearings. You've got, I think yours is called Broadway Virtual. Tell us what that is.
Sure. So, Bob, so for many years, I was a tech person. I was an information technology person for a company, and about 32-year career doing that. And what I learned during that process is, you know, certainly all about technology and video conferencing and programming of computers and whatnot. And then I've been doing theater for the last 20 years. And what I wanted to do during this pandemic, and it's something that I wanted to do before, but it's something that society and culture was not really on board with. Traditionally, theater is not about streaming and not about recording, and the unions tend to be very against it. And also, people in general had not been familiar with streaming technologies and video conferencing. So if you ask them to do something like that, it would be a huge learning curve, and they probably would have no interest in doing it. But as a result of the pandemic, we really didn't get left with a lot of other options so far as how we would continue to do our art. And the very interesting part about it, too, is people of all ages, you know, 3 months ago, I probably could have asked people if they knew what Zoom was, and probably most people would not have known what it was. And now I know people of all ages know what it is, including my parents, which is incredible because they would never have any interest in video conferencing, I'm sure, in the past. But now they know what it is. And people have just learned how to embrace this technology because it's necessary. So as a result, a lot of Zoom readings have popped up. A lot of Zoom development in the theater has popped up. And people are trying to figure out the best practices for implementing that technology because there's still technology, and that's not something that artists are usually that familiar with. So what I wanted to do was create a company that would embrace this virtual reality that we live in. Yes?
Hold on a second. We just ran into a technical difficulty, and everything just went dead.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. I don't know what happened. My screen just suddenly went blank. And I said, goodbye. Hey, anyhow, it's good talking to you, James.
It's great talking to you, Bob.
Are you available next this time?
Sure. Like, we could do it again. Let's do it again.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't know what the heck just happened.
Oh, no worries.
I'm looking at a dark screen right now.
Oh, my God. And
the only
what
time
is
something like
looking
this happened.
At? Is it a website or is it a program? What is it?
It's a site. I forgot what the heck it's called.
Okay.
But I may have accidentally hit something here. I don't know. It just went boom. The only other time something like this happened, I was interviewing Joseph Rosendo. I don't know if you know him. He does a long-time TV travel show.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the more popular ones. And all of a sudden, just minutes before the end of the show, his line went dead.
Oh, God. Great.
All right. That's the end of that. I'll reset it for next Wednesday. Same time, same station, same place.
Okay, well, that's no problem. Well, this is a good test run.
Yeah. I was going to call you after the show.
Yeah.
Last time we spoke, we were talking about doing once a month a theater show.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still interested in doing that?
I'd love to do that.
Okay. We're on every Wednesday night. Is there any Wednesday night of the month that's more convenient for you? And if you happen to be away, you know, we'll work something out so that, you know, we're not doing dead air for a half hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
All right. I'll tell you what. Not now, but I'll give you a call. Let's see. Tomorrow. You around tomorrow?
Yeah, I've got a lot of calls lined up, like, you know, throughout the day, but I can definitely jump on with you for a little bit.
No,
sure.
So, tomorrow's Thursday. How about if I call you Friday or over the weekend, either way?
Sure. Yeah, we could do that.
What's more convenient for you?
Well, probably breaking away over the weekend would be a time I could pick better. I mean, if you're going to be around, I can just call you when I have a break. Otherwise, I'm kind of working and stuff, so it's hard for me to pick a specific time. But you know, if you would be open for me calling you, I can call you. Or otherwise, the weekend we can chit chat.
I'm stuck here working on the books.
Okay.
I got one book is called A History Lover's Guide to Bergen County.
Oh my God.
And
wow.
Bergen County, it turns out, has got more sites on the National Register of Historic Sites than any place else in New Jersey.
Really?
The second book, I got a call from the editor yesterday. I'm doing a true crime book about a late federal agent who, my teaser for it was, what did Al Capone and Charles Lindbergh have in common? Mysterious Mike Malone. Guy,
oh, my gosh.
He infiltrated Capone's gang and helped put him down.
Wow.
And then because of that, with the Lindbergh kidnapping, Lindbergh insisted that Mike and his crew come in to investigate the kidnapping. He also worked on Lucky Johnson from the TV show Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah.
And Dutch Schultz and a bunch of others. So they agreed for me to do that book, and I'm getting should have the contract from them the end of this week, the beginning of next week. That's two books I'm working on.
Great. I love that.
My spare time, I make life miserable for Sandy.
Well, I mean, you know, you've got your job.
She's yelling
to do,
over
so.
There. I would agree with that.
I love it. I love it. Well, good. You know, we do what we have to, right? It's good.
The only time I'm going to be out of pocket this week is going to be Friday. From about 4 o'clock, I guess to maybe 6 o'clock, I've got a doctor appointment. But aside from that, you call, I'll stop whatever I'm doing, or we'll talk, or over the weekend, whatever's convenient for you.
Awesome. I'll get in touch with you, and we'll just confirm a time. Okay.
All right, my friend.
Thanks, Bob. Thank you so much.
Okay.
This was fun.
I'm sorry about what just happened.
It was fun.
Yeah. All right.
I'll talk to you later.
Take
Have a good night. Thanks.
Bye
to Sandy. Take care. Bye.